Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Chaplain Stevens, and this is Blog Talk Radio, Ask the Chaplain. And today I want to talk about a topic that doesn't get talked about much in our circles anymore, even in church, and that's the topic of demons. And somebody was asking me a question just this week about demons and do they still exist, and I shared with them a situation I encountered just last week. As most of you know, I'm a chaplain in a psychiatric hospital. And when I share this story, I'm not saying this to make people think or be afraid of psych patients, because not all psych patients are demon-possessed. A lot of times it's just a simple case of mental illness or PTSD or drug addiction or something of that sort. But in a lot of cases, we do run across patients that are possessed. And this week, I was praying for a young lady that was feeling like she was condemned. And she, no matter what I said to her, she felt condemned. And so as I was praying for her, her deliverance, another patient tried to attack me while I was in the middle of my prayer. And fortunately for me, the Lord had my back, and somebody grabbed the patient before he even got close to me. But this is an example of how the enemy definitely wants to keep people in bondage and not allow people to experience the delivering power of Jesus and the awesome power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. And so I want to share a few scriptures and just some examples of how do we deal with demonic forces in this world today. One of the things we need to understand about the enemy is he always tries to offer instant gratification with demonic enhancement. He wants to make us, quote-unquote, spiritual or wise or attractive. The devil always tries to present sin as fun, and that's how he gets us. I mean, even with Adam and Eve in the garden, the way he presented eating the fruit to Eve was, you know, first Eve was attracted to the fruit because it looked good to the eye, but then the enemy came in and said, it'll make you wise like God. And so whenever the enemy comes at us, he tries to make us tap into power without tapping into obeying God. So I'm going to look at a few scriptures, kind of give us a hand. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 in the NIV, it says, calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. And that authority that we have over evil spirits is in the form of Jesus' name. That's where the authority comes. So often I hear people talk about pleading the blood when it comes to dealing with a demonic entity. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to plead blood. We have the blood of Jesus already covering us. We don't have to plead it. But what we must do is call on the authority of Jesus' name, because demons are subject to the name of Jesus. Matthew 10 and 8 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I want to stay on that one for a minute. Here Jesus is emphasizing the importance of deliverance ministry to his disciples. But we often miss the last part of that verse. He said, freely you receive, freely give. Christ never meant for us to charge people to do ministry. And unfortunately, we merchandise the anointing, we merchandise ministry so much that people don't get the deliverance they need, because so often false preachers try to coerce people into paying for it. I never forget the time I went to a church service one night, and basically what the preacher was saying is everybody that gives a specific amount of money will get deliverance in accordance to how much they give. But Jesus is clear here. He says, freely you have received, freely give. And that's one of the other ways that the enemy tricks and traps ministers into his power and into his sphere, is by causing us to be greedy for filthy lucre, or something else that the Lord commanded us not to be. Greedy of filthy lucre, greedy of money. The Bible says you can't serve God and mammon at the same time, God and money. Because if a preacher can be bought with money, then the enemy can control that preacher in every way, shape, and form. Luke 10:17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Here again, we see it's in the name of Jesus that demons are submit, not because of us, not because of our titles, not because of our influence, but they're subject to the name of Jesus. But Jesus also had to remind the disciples that don't rejoice in the fact that the demons are subject to you in his name, but rejoice that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. God always wants us to remember the most important thing in our life is our relationship with him, not the gifts of the Spirit, the power of God, those things that we often glamorize and forget that it's God that gave us those gifts. Mark 1:27 says, the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this, a new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. Here again, we see the power of Jesus. And, you know, that's the reason why as ministers of the gospel, we have to stay connected to Jesus at all times. You know, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. The only way the devil will flee out of our lives is if we submit and surrender ourselves to God. Amen? All right, let's look at another verse. Luke 9:42. It says, even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And here again, we see the ministry of Jesus is often involving deliverance ministry and casting out of demons. And we see here that this boy was possessed of a devil and he threw himself on the ground. The devil's ultimate goal for all of us is to harm us emotionally and physically, to do harm to us, to hurt us. That's the enemy's job. That's what he tries to do. 2 Peter 2:19. If anyone lets himself be dominated by anything, he's a slave to it. And that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants to make us a slave to sin. It's like whatever it is, the enemy wants you to be a slave to it, whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, fornication, whatever it is. He doesn't want you to just touch it. He wants you to go full force into it. And that's how the enemy gets us. The Bible says the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And the enemy takes advantage of the fact that our flesh is weak. And you can never defeat the devil in your flesh. That's why fasting sometimes is important, because fasting conditions us to allow the Holy Spirit to control us and not our flesh. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It says, you do not belong to yourselves, but to God. He bought you for a price, so use your bodies for God's glory. I love this verse because it basically lets us know as believers, we no longer have free will. So often I hear people talk about we have free will. Before you accepted Christ, you exercised free will and you rejected Christ. But after you accept Christ, you no longer belong to yourself. We were bought with a price. So even though you may feel that you may have free will after you accept Christ, you don't. That's why, you know, the Bible sometimes lets us know that we're chastised by God when we get out of his will. Sometimes he chastises us. Sometimes he has to correct us. The word of God corrects us. You know, life, some of the things that God allows in our lives, the disciplines that he allows also serves as a form of correction. And the Bible says, who the Lord loves, he chastens. So he does it because he loves us, not because he hates us. Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil a foothold. And that's what we do sometimes. We give the devil a foothold. You know, pornography is a good example. You know, sometimes I remember when I was young, people used to call Playboy magazine soft porn, but there's no such thing as soft porn. It's all evil, and it all draws you away from your relationship with God. But that's how the enemy gets us. He starts us off, you know, with the light stuff. You know, like with alcoholics, they may start off with a beer. Oh, beer is okay. There's not a lot of alcohol in beer. Before you know it, you're drinking hard liquor. Then if that's not enough, you're trying weed. If that's not enough, you're trying pills or heroin or something else. Because the enemy wants you in bondage to whatever you get a hold of. He wants you in bondage. Okay, we're wrapping this up. Let's look at a couple of more scriptures. Ephesians 4:26-27. Never let the sun set on your anger, or else you will give the devil a foothold. You know, one of the things that gets us in trouble sometimes is our emotions. And sometimes the enemy, if he can't get us to do those things like drugs or alcohol or illicit sex or pornography, he'll get us in other areas in our emotions, like unforgiveness, bitterness. Somebody hurts you, so you go around angry, and you never allow that person to be forgiven by you. You let that bitterness fester inside of you. And we have to be very careful that we don't allow it to make room for the enemy through our emotions. All right, let's see here. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit says clearly that some men will abandon the faith in later times. They will obey lying spirits and follow the teachings of demons. And this is what's going on right now in the last days. People that are Bible believers are considered lunatics, and we're told that the Bible is no longer relevant. You know, the homosexuality is a good example where, you know, anybody that believes that it's a sin, they're labeling you a homophobe or a bigot, you know. So right now what's happening is Bible believers are becoming the enemy of the world, more so than ever. And we need to be aware of that. Okay, we're about to wrap this up. We'll look at a couple more verses real quick. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. And in order for us to escape the trap of the devil, we have to come to our senses. And that's why Romans 12:1 is so important. We have to have a renewed mind. And the only way you can get a renewed mind is through the word of God. The only way strongholds are pulled down in our minds and in our thought processes is through the word of God. And a stronghold is just that. A stronghold is a thought that's contrary to the word of God. And so all of us have certain areas of our lives that are strongholds. And the only way that they'll be torn down is through knowledge of the word and through applying the word to that situation. Last verse, Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recover your sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this is God's mission statement through Jesus. And he's letting us know deliverance is a part of the mission statement of God. God wants every man to be delivered from satanic attack and satanic control. And part of our job as believers is to help people achieve that deliverance through the name of Jesus. So if you know somebody that's in bondage and somebody that needs deliverance, pray for them. Pray that God will deliver them and set them free. Give them the word of God. Give them encouragement through the word of God. Don't look down on them. Lift them up with the word of God and truth. Amen. Well, God bless you. I hope this lesson has been a blessing to you. And let me close in prayer. Dear God, we give you praise and we give you honor. We give you glory. And I pray for everyone listening to this broadcast that may be in bondage of some sort, whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, homosexuality, whatever it is, I pray for the deliverance of every person listening to this broadcast in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you praise and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. This has been Chaplain Stevens on Blog Talk Radio, Ask the Chaplain. God bless you and have a great day.